is Christine Conti, and you are listening to best-selling author of Split Second Courage. What if your fears were the key to your dreams? That's right, everyone. Available on Amazon right now as an ebook or paperback. Grab your copy today and unleash your inner superhero. What is holding you back from living the life you truly deserve? Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are two fit crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at. It is a Friday afternoon, and we're hitting record after, what, an hour therapy session on the microphones?
It was an hour therapy session. We've been sitting here with the microphones on, the headphones on, and done everything but hit record while we both just, like, let it rip about mostly me.
You've been a little dark and stormy today. We had to have a Brian session today.
It was a Brian session.
There's been many a days where I come in as a hot, chaotic whirlwind. But you know what? It's nice to hear that, you know.
I'm just as fucked up as you are.
Stop. No, that wasn't what I was going to say. Is that everyone has, you know, moments that it's good to talk it out with people. Just even if I just sit there and you have to get it out and I give you like two words of hopefully it
helps.
That
was pretty much what happened there.
But it's,
yeah, no, you gotta have,
you have to have that.
People that you bounce some things off of, and you know, someone that will say, no, you're not totally crazy, or you're totally crazy. and yeah, so that was a good, nice little thing. I feel so much better,
good.
Christine. I feel like I went to the church of Christine.
I'm just a ball of positive energy all the time. All the damn time.
Right.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure we saved all the world's problems just now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. We talked about kids and work and coaching and
interacting with other humans.
Right. Kind of important.
It's pretty important.
Kind of important.
And death.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a few deaths on the block in the past couple weeks.
This past week, honestly, I've heard a lot. My good friend, her mother's celebration of life started, it was like last weekend. And then since then, I've heard a lot of, you know, passing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is spring, you know. We have death, rebirth, you know, Easter.
Yeah.
Rise from the dead.
Yeah.
I mean, this is life, you know.
Rebirth.
So we're just trying to hang on and be the best people we possibly can for the short amount of time that we are on this planet.
And this is a perfect time for a PSA. If you're hearing my voice right now, go get your heart checked. Go
yes.
to your general practitioner. If you don't have one, that's step one. Go to the general practitioner, find one. Then ask for a referral for a cardiologist so you can get your heart checked. If you live locally, I have one for you. He's fantastic.
If your name is Michael Conti, I hope you're listening to this.
Right? Because one of the fellows that actually we discussed in our rant session here just prior to hitting record was younger. He was, you know, he's 50, has kids, and he's no longer with us. And you know, and heart disease takes out one out of every four.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably even a little bit less than that. It's like 3 point something. So,
fun fact:
there's only two of us sitting here. If there were two more, one of us, Yeah, go ahead.
Fun fact. Are you ready? So autoimmune diseases, all of you out there, I'm talking to all you, okay, any autoimmune disease, you know that can affect your heart, right? Do you know this?
Right.
That, like, it's autoimmune, it affects circulation, it affects blood flow, it affects the arteries to your heart. Your heart is a muscle, and many times people are like, oh, no, no, no. I've got, you know, like for me, I have rheumatoid arthritis. People are like, oh, you have arthritis. That's not nothing right. to do with your heart. And you're like, no, it actually can affect your internal organs, which can affect your heart and the way that it functions. So get your heart checked.
Right.
Hashtag.
Buzzword, comorbidity, drink yeah. a sip of coffee.
Oh, my gosh. Well, speaking of now that we've
comorbidity.
Given, now that we've given a
disease and a sickness very, and illness and mental illness. Go ahead.
A very morbid view of this world. We need to move on to as something at least a little bit more positive today. Do you want to hear a really funny story?
Yes.
This is such a great story. I love saved funny this. Stories. I saved this one for you. So and this is great. So I'm home this week. I'm not traveling. And I said, you know what? There's a couple people, like really people I love that I haven't seen in a while. Let's, you know what? I'm going to reach out and just send a text to a couple people. Like, you know what? They can stop by, just have a snack. Like, just say hi for like 2 hours. And of course, my husband doesn't like to have people over. Like, cause he's like, you know, after a couple hours, he's
I'm
like,
with him.
Get the hell out. Yeah. You know, like by 10 PM, he's like, I want to go to bed. Like, get the hell out of my house. And we, again, we love people. So I'm like, Michael, you know, we haven't seen this. I said, you know what? Let me just extend an invite to, you know, now that, you know, Brian and I have sons that are like BFFs. It's bizarre. Like Colin was like showering in the upstairs spa bathroom last night, came down with my son's clothes on. I'm like, okay.
We're four fit crazy.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Let me put Maria on this text. Okay. This is Brian's wife, Maria.
Right.
So
lovely.
The text went like this. If you're getting this, you know, we love you. We haven't seen you in a while. Come stop by for like 2 hours on Saturday evening. And make sure to know that, you need to leave at a certain time because Michael said that he would take a dump on the table just to get everyone out of the house.
He's like,
right? Yeah. Wait, it gets better.
It took Maria, a grumpy.
Did Maria ever get that text?
Not that I know of.
No, because she didn't.
Oh my
because
God.
The Maria on my phone was not the Maria like it went to.
Like the PTA mom or something?
Whoever Maria is works for a doctor's office locally.
Holy shit. Good for you.
And wrote back and was like, I'm so sorry. I'm not sure what this means, but I'm out of the office right now. Could we discuss this tomorrow? I didn't tell Michael, so he's probably not listening to this, but I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a problem. So Maria, who works as in a doctor's office somewhere locally,
was threatened to be
really sorry.
Invited over for a shit party. Right? That's some Johnny Depp stuff.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So I don't know who that is, but
good for you, Conti. That was a good that was a great mess up.
My husband will take a dump on the table, and I don't know who that Maria is.
And here's
definitely wasn't Maria your wife.
You have my blessing to invite my wife out of my house at any time you like. I love her dearly, right? Fantastic, lovely. She's fun at parties.
Colin, everyone's invited, but it went to her because I thought like,
I'm like,
oh,
Michael,
okay.
If I have to stay there past 10 o'clock, I'm shitting all over the place too.
Then I really took a reflection on my life of like, why did I think that was an okay thing to say to everyone?
Because you have close friends and it's beautiful and perfect to say to close friends.
Right, but then, is it? Like, is that?
If they know Michael. Michael's not the type to shit in front of the table. And my wife would have responded in all caps, exclamation points, because that's how she texts. The most exciting texter I've ever seen in my life.
She better be careful, because some people could be like, yo, you're yelling at people.
No, it's with pure enthusiasm that she answers texts. It's amazing. She's known for her caps and exclamation points.
I like that. I like that. It shows energy.
It shows
her passion, you know. But anyhow.
She's been killing it lately, too. Maria's been exercising like a beast.
Really? Good for her.
Killing it. Yeah.
What is she doing? Is she dancing? Is she going to like
a little bit.
Dance
walking, dancing, but running, running, walking, lifting weights.
All right. Yeah. Maria. Big
doing
shout
it.
Out.
You know, it's like, it's so funny because I'm like, you know, the health coach in the house and like, and you know, it's it. My wife teaches kids how to read, right? She teaches first graders and kids how to read.
Yeah.
That's what she's done her whole career. And we have had all these kids, my three sons, you know, learn how to read. But it's like, they don't, not that they don't respect her, but they don't understand her in that way. They don't understand that that's what she does.
Right.
You know, and that, you know, they'll be like, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, and I said, yeah, it's kind of like when I give health advice to my wife, you know. It's sometimes it's easier for me just to say, hey, I'm here to support you.
Right.
Go and do whatever you got to do. That's what she needs more than anything, I think. I don't know. But lately she's in a good, real good flow. She's never not been in a real good flow, but she's just really lately, like, I could just see it and she's enjoying it.
We all got pandemicked a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
No matter what, even if you did, like Brian and I, we were like, yay, we get to work out at different times. And, you know, some of it was really good, but it still was a different schedule than we're used to.
Yeah.
And it still, I know for me, as much as I was like, oh, this is cool, I can work out this or do this, it still wasn't what I'd done my whole life. And even the, you know, the decade before that, it still threw things off. And I feel like right now I'm just starting to get back into like a, I don't know, maybe into a flow of my body's feeling like,
yeah,
I'm not overdoing it. I'm kind of finding that sweet spot again of, okay, I can stay here and, you know, I don't think I'm overtraining. I don't think I'm undertraining. You know, I'm always overtraining. But
in the pandemic, people either did too much or not enough at all, like nothing. And, you know, I think that finding that sweet spot is where all the success is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not go big or go home.
Right.
It's, you know, simpatico. It's like, you know, finding that homeostasis flow of things. And I'm starting to find it a little bit too. I know, because my schedule's so goddamn busy, and like when the time to exercise is now the only time to exercise, and it's got to be done then. And, you know, just through whatever, the kids' schedule and my schedule and, you know, everybody's school, and it's crazy. You know, three kids in the springtime playing two different sports, mm-hmm, or three different sports with travel. I'm coaching too. It's been hectic, but it's also kind of like everything fits into place. You know, I'm not missing anything.
Right.
Really. You know, but it just, we're definitely doing more. So when that exercise goes into that box or that time slot and it's got to get done, you know, that's how we kind of develop that.
We also love it, though. We also realize that exercise time is something that's so awesome. And we don't look at it as like, oh my gosh, we have to exercise. It's like, hey, I am allowing this time in my life, in my day, and there's not, I mean, unless it's like, you know, extenuating circumstance, an emergency, but you're making that time and saying, nope, this is it. Just like, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to eat, I'm going to brush my teeth, I would rather not shower than miss my exercise, you know, like there's priorities here in life. But that's important. And by the way, listeners, Brian, how excited are you about coaching?
Oh, I'm very excited. No, we're killing it. Kids are killing it.
And where were you yesterday?
I was at Penn Relays yesterday. That was so good. I mean, I'm like,
a kid in a candy store.
Well, I am. Excited. I'm the Buddy the Elf of running, mm-hmm, and these kids have like no idea. They're like high school boys and girls, and I'm like, I love running. Running's my favorite, and they've, you know, and but they've also bought in,
mm-hmm,
right? That the like, I don't know, whatever that enthusiasm is and that energy is, they're absorbing it. I have great coaches that I work with, which is awesome. You know, the one coach that I work with, I'm working with a little out of my wheelhouse right now, because I'm normally work with distance runners and I work with the distance program. I was asked to do sprints and middle distance, so 400.
Good learning, do new experience. You know,
it's not. Yeah, you know, it's just different. I mean, it's still coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like teaching, but like a slightly different subject, right? It's still teaching, right? We're still teaching, and the you know, but the workouts are different. But you know, engaging the children is not that hard. Like, they're into it, and we're having, you know, they're successful, they're having a great season. and they're because they're buying in and they mm-hmm. realize that there's opportunity for them there. We had one kid, I'll tell you a story, football player, junior, talented, comes to practice. They wear like these like Nike Blazer, like high tops, like to practice because it's cool, right? They don't really, they never really had like a true track and field guidance.
Yeah.
Some of them that have never been to a track meet before, but I get, you know, the football player that wants to come out and improve his things. Great. One of the kids on the football team went and like recruited all his other players.
That's
so he's been running track. So we got like four or five of kids that had never done it before. So this one boy had never been to a track meet before. 2 days before our first meet, I said, do you have spikes? Right? You're a 100-meter runner. Do you have spikes? You know, I have to teach him how to come out of the blocks. I have to teach him, like, how to start. I was like, we can have a really fast 4x1 team. They were like, what's a 4x1?
Mm-hmm.
Right? 4x100-meter relay.
Right.
Right? Like, the premier event of, like, the Olympics and Bolt and mm-hmm. Tyson Gay and all that stuff. Like, they're kind of like, well, what's that, you know? And so 2 days before the first meet, I'm like, do you have spikes? And he says, nah. So I get on the phone. I call the local running store. I talk to the guy who I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. And shout out to Miles Ahead. And I talk to him because the kid's right there. He's local. And I'm like, do you have size 12 and a half sprinter spikes in stock? And he's like, God, like, let me look. I don't know. You know, so he finally comes back to the phone. He's like, yeah, I've got them. I was like, all right, I'm going to send the kid down, like, just, you know, and he's like, well, we close in 10 minutes. I was like, all right, he'll be there in tomorrow. Just can you put him on hold for me? He goes, Brian, they're size 12 and a half sprinter spikes. He's like, no one's walking in the door asking for those. Anyway, long story short, this kid is now running pretty fast. 11.28 he ran in his last 100 meters. He's like, you know, if he goes under 11 seconds, you know, so he's 0.28 away. And, mm-hmm. and all he needs, I'm confident in this, is faster competition and he'll break 11. He'll set a school record. He's a junior. He's now realizing that the opportunity for him to do this mm-hmm. is now a real thing. Got another kid, same thing. Never even been to a track meet before. We set him up for the high jump. He jumps over 6 feet. Crazy. You know, he's a linebacker and a tight end on the football team, but he's just an athletic kid. We put him in the long jump too. He jumps 19 and a half feet. He doesn't even know what he's doing yet. He can go over 20. He could probably jump 22 if he really focused and learned it and took the time. And they're watching videos about high jumping. They're watching videos about starting and, you know, blocks and they're mm-hmm. enthusiastic about it. And, you know, so just giving these kids an opportunity to do some stuff. I got a couple girls that are just really, really special. So, and you know, I'm there to kind of help them out.
You know what's crazy? You know what happens when you believe in someone and you start planting seeds?
That was
the coolest thing as a teacher. And yeah. I know as growing up, teachers did it for me. And I remembered making sure that I did that for other kids and identifying, like, you know, when I was, you know, in the actually teaching English and there was a kid that was a great speaker or a great writer. And I'd be like, you know, you ever think of going into journalism or do you ever think of, and they're like, oh, no, why can, how? And I'm like, or the kid that I can't tell you how many, what's really cool is I can't tell you how many kids that I've coached where I saw them freshman year and I just watch. And because I obviously coached a lot of volleyball was my thing. And, you know, I would look at them freshman year and pull them aside and say, if you want to play in college, you can. And they're like, what? Huh? And I'm like, if you would like to play in college, it yeah. is up to you, but you have the potential to do it. And if you want to, ball's in your court, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's been the coolest thing to see. And, you know, there's even I'm working with a girl right now privately every once in a while. And I saw her as a freshman and I'm like, you know, you could play in college. And the parents like, wait, what? I'm like, she can play.
Isn't that, yeah.
But here's what has to happen, you know, and giving that guidance. And, I have to give a shout out. Before I left teaching, one of my last teams ever, shout out to Chloe von der Linden, who I'll be headed down to the Naval Academy next month to see her graduate from Annapolis. I'm so super pumped. If you would have told me when I met her and she was on my volleyball team that she was going to be in the Naval Academy, and I would have left. And she is just a phenomenal human being.
It's awesome.
So I can't – those are the things that you're like – you know, when you're coaching and teaching that you just see – later on in life that you're that like, was, what the what? This is awesome.
That was the Friday of week one, right? The Friday of week one of practice. So we had gone, we started Monday, we go through all the practice, and you know, I'm getting to know these kids, and there's a bunch of them, and I have to
Aren't
learn their names. Oh, it's so fun.
I like the older kids a lot better. I always loved the high school kids because they got personality and spunk.
Yeah.
It was like the younger kids are kind of smelly, and they smell.
They
go into abandoned houses and come back smelling like fish in the middle of the woods. Side note, we'll get back to that.
I told them, I'm like, listen, you guys you have no idea like what I see in you. And like, I see things in you right now that you have no idea. You're going to learn, you're going to see it in yourself eventually. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just kind of my role and our role as coaches and the other coaches to, you know, we all know what you're capable of. And, you know, some of them will surprise us, you know, as we go and develop probably, you know, some ways more than we would. And some of them will disappoint us too. Mm-hmm. Right. But they didn't really know because, you know, the kid who I jumped 6 foot, like, you know, I know I could see it in him. I'm like, that kid's special. He's a Swiss Army knife. Any event we want to put him in, we can. And, you know, it depends on what kind of tool we needed for it.
Right.
And, you know, but they have to see it in themselves, but you know, it's just like, hey, listen, this is an opportunity for you. And you've never seen it before. We don't even have a track. How about that? We got a half a track. It's a candy cane. It's a candy cane.
So bizarre.
I talked to the AD the other day and I'm like, it's kind of like playing basketball with no backboard. It's not even like half court. And he laughed, and it's a space issue. The town is tight, and they don't have like a space to do it. And look, they could probably have figured out a way over the years to make it happen. But
you should have to win some titles. And then,
well, that's the thing.
Send
you
some
know?
People to some big places. That's how that works.
So it's all good. We're having a blast. You know, kids are enthusiastic, excited. Penn Relays was freaking awesome. They, you know, balled out, ran real hard, I guess is what you would say. But they, you know, it was just a great atmosphere for them, and that was exciting for me too.
It's nice to see you so excited about it. That's what I love.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, your kids.
I told you, Buddy the Elf.
I know.
Yeah, take care of my kids.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh yeah.
My gosh.
How about you? Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Coming off of like a not a good experience in the fall. Went up and ran Boston in the fall because it was October in 2021.
But
I wasn't like, I feel like I got pandemicked more than I thought.
Definitely.
And, I think I kept going back to this, but that 100-miler like destroyed me, just destroyed. And I don't know what it was. I think I started running too much in the, going from running faster marathons to then getting into Ironman and doing just more endurance and less speed work.
Yeah.
I think that like, I really have gone back and looked at what was I doing? What was I not doing? How did I feel? Just that reflection was running too much. That's what it was. Wasn't doing enough speed work, running too much.
Speed always, Conti.
Running too often.
Always.
Cause I never like, remember I was running these races and I'm like, I don't know. I don't go out and run that. I just go run faster, shorter.
You were doing interval stuff on the treadmill, like you were doing.
Always,
you were doing it.
But it just.
I think that's kind of the rub with like the extreme distances and the long stuff. You have to run so much, and it can't be you know, intense all the time.
Right, but it's like you're trying to hit that balance.
Yeah.
Of, you know, you do need that cardio. What is it like to be, you know, to have your body go for that long and. So it was a tough, I think it was
but
a
like
tough
even,
thing.
Even for a marathon, like you want to be a better marathon. Someone told me this a while back. If you want to be a better marathoner, you got to be a better miler.
Right.
Right.
It's true.
Like you got, and if you can be a better miler, you'll be better at the 5K.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you're a better 5K, then you'll be better 10K
right.
half marathon. And
right.
then, you know, and then on up to the marathon. Yeah. It's an endurance event, but you got to get comfortable with. Mm-hmm. The pace.
Oh my gosh! Absolutely.
Nothing helps. Nothing helps that marathon pace feel more comfortable than a bunch of 400s on the track.
It's true. It's very true.
Heavy breathing.
Then your marathon feels like you're walking because you're running so much slower than that.
VO2 max,
I know,
baby.
I know. So October just wasn't. I thought I was fine. I was just going to kind of, you know, do fast times again because that's what I had been doing, and it just. I'm like, oh, I ran too much. Like, even the day before, I went out for like a 6-miler with my husband. Like, oh, we're good. No, was not good. By mile 6, I was like, yeah, I think I want to just like sit down. And that was in October. I just was like, I think
you ran well though.
Walked up one of the hills. Oh,
you didn't run poorly. What'd
in
you run?
October, it was like 340 something. 340.
Okay.
Whatever. It was just not. But. That was the first one back in like 2 years.
I opted out of Boston in October because I just thought it would be weird.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
However, I went back now thinking, okay, well, I really hope like this was I went Boston to Boston where I ran a half here and there, whatever. But this was my next marathon. And I'm thinking, oh God, like maybe I'm getting older. Maybe
all
this
that.
Is it. Like all that was in my head.
I had
of like,
that,
you know,
I had
maybe
that in November.
Maybe this is it. Like maybe I just, I thought it was so easy to qualify for Boston every year, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, like maybe I'm not going to make it. And so I had a plan. I was like, you know what? My plan is I want to run a like 3:30. I want to, you know, run maybe around, you know, between 7:50 and 8-minute miles. We'll see what the hills are like. Let's see what the day's like. And that was my game plan to, you know, all right, I'm running with slower groups. So I started out with a much slower corral. I've never been in the corral 3 before.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. But I started out so, because the runners were so slow, so much slower than me.
Oh, they did you a favor.
I was like,
at Boston?
Oh my gosh. I was so frustrated. Because I'm like, this is so slow. The first couple miles, because those runners were slower.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here like, Christine, do I try and weave? Do I try and like go on the outside? I'm like, I'm wasting my energy here. This is stupid. I'm not going to be able to run any faster here. So those slow miles equated to, I got to mile 6 and I'm like, did I just run 6 miles?
Yeah.
And then I got to Wellesley and I'm like, huh, I'm feeling pretty damn good. Like,
right.
And I'm like, you know, I get to the hills and I'm like,
mile 16,
mile 18, I ran for the Alzheimer's Association. So I run that race in my mind point to point. So I know when I'm going to hit certain things and I know how I should feel or should not, should I pick it up? Shouldn't I? And I felt so good, but I'm like, I'm not picking it up. I'm not doing it. I just want to have a good race. I know what my goal is. And, you know, that goal is 15 minutes under where I'd have to qualify to run again anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not going to kill myself.
Right.
So I get to, you know, get to Wellesley a couple miles later. 16.5 is the Alzheimer's Association. Okay. Huge, like, you know, big cheering
so that's,
group,
that's
whatever.
That's right after you make the turn in Newton and you go past the John Kelly.
So...
statue.
Yeah, so there's that. So they're at 16.5. And then my good friend who, shout out Chrissy Horan, who wrote the article in Runner's World with arthritis and everything. Thank you so much. She was on the course at like mile 18. I saw her. And I was like, ah. And then my husband is right at the top of Heartbreak Hill always.
21.
So when I come down. So I knew, you know, it was a really good strategy of, you know, mental check-in. And I felt fantastic. So
beautiful.
Literally, I'm going down Boylston Street like, damn it, I should have run this fast. You know, it was like one of those where you're like, I have so much left in the tank.
Yeah.
But you don't know. And what I said to a lot of people, I'm like, this is running. One day you can go out there and you feel like $1 million. The next day, you feel like garbage. Like, and I said, you just have to know that I had a terrible experience in Boston in the fall. I had a great one this month.
So you're not old?
So I don't think I'm old.
All right, good.
Period. The end.
Yeah.
It was I just think it's so bizarre.
You get a little in your, you know, in your head, and
like
you
discouraged.
Yeah, and you're like, and, boy, maybe it's gone. You know, like because it's going to happen at some point. Well, I hate to, you know, Father Time is undefeated.
Although I did see myself running. There is a little picture of me running. I look like fucking Bambi. I don't know what's going on with my running form, but I really need to go back to something.
Always, though. That's
how
you
look
at it. You got
a
little,
like Bambi.
A little prancer size you're doing there.
I look
Bambi
like
on, Bambi on ice.
Bambi. Like it just, I don't know. It looks like I'm like dragging one leg. It's just legs. And oh, it's not pretty.
All right.
My running is not pretty. It gets the job done, but it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a, like, graceful runner, put it that way.
Yeah, it's not textbook form. Gets the job done, though, Conti. You are a gangster out there in Boston or wherever you're going. How weather was fantastic.
Oh, it was great.
No 35 degrees and raining.
First of all, I was running for the Alzheimer's Association for a while, and then I didn't for a couple years. And this year, I'm like, you know what? We didn't get up in time to go to their banquet, but I said, you know what? I want to be with the team at some point. And I decided in the morning I was going to go to everyone has a hospitality suite. Every single different organization, that charities, they have different hotels. They have like home base, right? So we went. I decided I'm going to go meet them in the morning, and I'm going to take the bus with the team to Hoppington. What was awesome? It was amazing. I don't know. I'm never not doing this ever again. But there's like breakfast, and everyone's there.
Oh, it's great.
Wonderful.
And then they have the coach bus.
The coach bus.
Oh, it's beautiful.
We all had our own seats. It was amazing. We get up there. We all have these special VIP wristbands. They take us right into the gym. One of the gyms at the school was set up all mats, and like we had our own bathrooms, and there might have been like 10 different charity groups.
That's
the
way
to
go.
I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Most people will run a charity in a marathon because they didn't qualify and they still want to run the race. So they pledge to raise money for the charity. Christine qualifies for these things. She doesn't need to run for the charity. It's just a good human that she is, where she says, I'm doing it anyway. I might as well raise the dough.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what is awesome is that you now, when I have that singlet on, that shirt's on, and I'm raising awareness for something. Like, that's what's so amazing is that, you know what, I didn't have to raise, you know, $15,000 or whatever it was. I said, but, you know, I always raise a couple thousand dollars at least, put that singlet on and say, listen, you know, who has been affected by whatever? I've run for Alzheimer's, I've run for Parkinson's, you know, like different diseases. And it's a really great way to help the people that, you know, on your team have lost parents and brothers and sisters, and like their stories just make you on those dark moments when you're like, I hate my life and this is stupid and I want to quit.
You think you got problems.
You know, you are like, no, you know what? Like, I'm going to do this. And I don't know. It just gives you a little extra something to run for and to be out there for. Like, life's a little bit more than just you.
How was the post pandemic spring Boston crowd?
Amazing.
Always.
Oh my gosh. I want to say that they might have equaled the crowd in 2014, the year after the bombing.
The bombing, yeah.
It was unbelievable. And what's funny is that this year I put in my earbuds for the beginning of the race. I know you're like disdain about that, but earbuds in.
Different.
And I'm like, you know what? My earbuds, it's going to be fine. Yeah, they both died by mile 12.
Yeah, that's a long way. Those things don't stay charged that long.
Anyway, so I'm like, oh, geez, whatever. You know what? It was the best race ever without those earbuds in.
Oh, totally.
It was so loud and there was so much going on, because some races, let's be honest, in the middle of nowhere with no one on the sidelines, you're like, I am losing my mind.
And not like 500 people shoulder to shoulder around you running.
Right. Like mile 85 in an Ironman bike race. You're like, I'm like singing my own songs. I'm in a different universe. Like, but you know, you get in your head, and I can't even, there was just so much going on. I saw Chris What's his last name that does all the Ironmans? He does it for Down Syndrome and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's on the course. I've seen him like six times, I think, in the last, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
He was out on the course. I saw him. I gave him a big, like, yes, you can. Yeah, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
And then why I should quit running right now is I told you this, that I was running up. It was the hill before Heartbreak Hill.
Okay.
And I see, of course, I have no earbuds in, whatever, and I can hear everything, see everything, and I'm running on the left-hand side, and I see in front of me there's two women, they have matching outfits, and then there's like one of those little like Jeep things in front of them.
Okay.
Like a, almost like a quad, like a bigger quad, and I see that there's some, you know, film cam, like cameras and stuff, but they're not on. I'm like, hmm. And, you know, I look up and I see the bibs, but there's no names on the bibs, but I know that Shalane is out on the course with, you know, being a guide or, you know, runner for, I forgot her name, the woman who
was the,
lost her leg
in the bombing.
In the bombing. Yeah. So my, you know, my claim to fame now is that, you know, I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, of course, me, big mouth. I'm like, Shalane, I think that's Shalane. No one hears me. And whoever does is just like,
whatever.
No one's paying attention. Just me. I'm like, all right. So I run right up next to her, like almost shoulder to shoulder. And I'm like,
did you get a fist bump?
No. Oh. I wasn't going to touch anybody. But I'm like, but I was like, awesome job, ladies. Yes, you can. Keep it up. And she was like, thank you. But, you know, have a great race. Whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
So I passed Shalane Flanagan running uphill the Boston Marathon. Now, while I know she was running as a guide.
No,
it doesn't matter.
That's
Let's
cool.
pretend not.
In
it was really cool to see her.
In 2019, I fist bumped Joan Benoit Samuelson in
Very
Wellesley.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool. Mm. You know, Olympic, the 84 Olympic gold medalist,
I mean,
and Boston winner and all that.
So awesome.
Yeah. No, so that was pretty cool. Hey, Joni.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Joni, how for a run?
I know.
She's amazing. She's 60. And she still runs, you know, she runs 305, stuff, you know, like pretty solid.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Good runner.
The
good runner.
People out there, though, you know, you see, I mean, y'all can come up with whatever excuses you want. Okay. And I'm sorry that, you know, I like to call people out, but it's everyone has an excuse. I can't because they were. Hey, why don't you go to the Boston Marathon and take a look around if you want to have some excuses, because there's people with no legs. There's people that are being pushed that have debilitating diseases by loved ones with like Team Hoyt. Team Achilles is the one.
Achilles Track Club, yeah.
The veterans, the wounded vets,
well,
right?
No, Achilles is anybody that has had like any sort of, so that's a lot of heart disease.
Okay.
You know, they've
a lot
been
of Team
forever.
Achilles out there.
Yeah, no, so that's like anybody that's had really any medical ailment.
Okay.
You know, they can be on Team Achilles. Wounded Warrior's big one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are out there at push rims and going up those hills with, you know.
And the people who have
and look,
their loved ones are on the backs, like this is why I'm running, all the charities. And then there's the people that are like, this is my 29th consecutive.
Yes. The legacy runners.
What? Well, that's where I'm at this point. That's what I'm going for.
Just keep on going.
I'm going to keep going until.
Look, and
I can't.
There's
so
people
we'll
out there that are, you know, that don't use age as an excuse either.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to be out there. Bambi's going to be out there for as long as possible.
I'm with you, Conti.
Hippity hopping.
I don't plan on missing anymore. How's that?
Oh, it's.
I got caught in like
love
the,
it.
I got caught
I
in
love
the
it.
Like the little loophole of COVID and not having a qualifier this year. I didn't have. I just like didn't have it because I was with outside the window. But I got it for next year, so I'll be
your beast runner. That's why.
I'll be there. Yeah. Well, I'm not done yet either.
Yeah.
You know? I plan on doing this for a while. That was one of the coolest things about the Penn Relays yesterday is to see like the 85-year-old sprinters, like 100 meters. So I didn't see the 100-meter guy because he's doing it, or the 100-year-old guy.
I didn't realize that's for everybody.
Penn Relays?
Yeah. So it's not just schools. It's like.
Well, they have high school boys and girls.
Right.
And then they have
like the masters,
college men and women.
And
then they have professionals. They have masters. They have masters men and women. They have everything. It's insane. It's like it's
okay.
It's 4 days of or 3 days of.
I didn't realize that they were also there, like the 100-year-old people and whatnot. I don't know why I
like,
put that together.
Like after, like last night after the sun went down, like the college kids start going. They have corporate relays, like all sorts of stuff.
Huh.
And then they had, I watched the 70-year-old run 13 point something in the 100 meters yesterday. And he's a short AC guy, same club as me. I didn't know him, but, you know, he's...
that's on my agenda.
70. You got to watch the video. I'll put it in the show notes because it's impressive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are a bunch of people out there that are running towards a good life, right? You say, what are you running away from? I say, the opposite. I'm running towards something real good. And, yeah, pretty neat. You know, they have 80-year-olds running a 4x400-meter relay. You know, one was pretty funny. They had a 50-year-old category for the 4x1.
Okay.
And these dudes take it really seriously.
Sure.
No, they're you know, probably former collegiate athletes that are just still out there training just as hard as they ever have, and they bring it. And Penn's a big deal. And, you know, they're not there to win and run really fast times. So they're 50 something years old, they line them up, ready, set, gun goes off, second gun goes off, somebody falls started. And what's the rule? You false start, you're out. So they remove the team from the block, and that team couldn't run, and the crowd was booing them, like, boo, boo. Like, you know, but that's the deal. And those guys want it that way, right? They want it that way. Mm-hmm. If it was somebody else false starting, you wouldn't give them another chance.
Right.
You know, like next. You know, so it's pretty cool. And what's what we always say about running? It's a lifelong sport. You know, it's something that you can do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I tell the high school kids now, you know, it's tough to get a pickup soccer game going when you're 55.
Right.
Right. You know, your buddies may not be available, but you can always go for a run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basketball, all that stuff. Tennis, you need, you know, unless you're hitting against a wall, you need somebody else to play.
And, right.
You know, it's no fun. So, you know, there are some other sports out there that, you know, people can play, but running's something you can do for forever.
Running, maybe biking,
yeah.
Swimming. I've been getting into the swimming.
Two things real quick.
Go.
Your Runner's World article. Tell the audience about that. Famous. Speaking of famous runners.
I don't even know what to do with all this stuff. So my good friend, Chrissy Horan, childhood teammate, played club volleyball with her and her younger sister. And she is actually going to come on the show, I believe, in August. She is coming on and going to talk and share a little bit of her story. But she actually was involved very heavily with the Alzheimer's Association in Boston, which is how I started running for the Alzheimer's Association when we connected because of the interweb and Facebook and whatever. She was running. She's a freelance writer working for Boston Globe and does work with Runner's World magazine now. And she was running her first marathon with the Alzheimer's Association. And I said, you know, I want in. I would love to be a part of it. And so I had already qualified. And that's how I started with them, was kind of reconnecting with her. Our families were good, close friends growing, you know, as we grew up. And so as she had kids, and I always kind of kept in touch with her, and she put on something on the internet. It was like, you know, I'm doing an article for the Boston Globe, local runners who have running streaks. And I was like, Chrissy, give me a call. And she's like, you know, we're actually looking for runners that are more local for Boston. She's like, but, you know, I would love to pitch your story to Runner's World, because I think that this is something, you know, with my RA, and I only started running because I got diagnosed with a disease that was supposed to prevent me from running and moving. So she pitched it to Runner's World and they wanted her to do it. So Chrissy wrote this fan-freaking-tastic article. All, you know, doctor research is in there and interviews with top doctors and, you know, tells a little bit about my story and running. But it's, you know, running and rheumatoid arthritis, how, you know, it shouldn't stop you from chasing those miles, and that it is actually something that is great for your health. You know, who'd have thought that exercise could be medicine and whatnot, right?
Yeah, imagine that. And staying moving is a good thing. Not just getting that sentence you know, and treating it like a death sentence. Yeah, imagine that.
I just love that.
It was a very well-written article because it had tons of the medical side too. It wasn't just, you know, anecdotal Christine Conti story.
Right.
It was a lot of information and research from top doctors and, you know, some of the top New England hospitals. And they were right on time because, you know, it was, you know, they mentioned that you just had just finished Boston again. And
I told Chrissy, I was I'm like, damn it. I'm like, had I known you were going to throw in my Boston time, I would have tried to run a little faster, you know.
You'd have left those earbuds at home. No, but
funny.
Look, you deserve it. You know, you have done amazing things with yourself, and you know, and you're out there, and you're letting people know, you know, exactly what, how to, you know, an opportunity for them, or showing them, giving them an example of one way to handle it,
right,
which isn't the
mentally
conventional,
and physically,
absolutely, which isn't the conventional way of, oh, I'm just going to shut it down. Woe is me. Hell no, right? We're going to go around Boston till we can't.
Right.
Anymore.
Well, that's it. It's, you know, and that's funny that I'd said that to myself, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, like I'm going to run this until I can't. And now I'm like, oh shit. Like, I made this promise to myself. So, you know, and now it's a family thing. And I was talking to, you know, I was talking to Mike, my husband, and he was like, and I said to him, I said, you know what?
Gotta take
awesome?
Shits on tables.
He does. He doesn't. I'm so sorry. Oh God. So that's just a great moment for me. That's a shining star. So what I said to him, I said, you know how cool it would be to continue this tradition as the kids get older, to take, you know, have the four of us go, you know, maybe they're married one day, maybe they're whatever. I said, just to take this weekend and have it be something that we do every year as a family going forward. Like that to me,
it's beautiful.
I was like, this is really cool. Cause then, you know, the kids are like really,
it's exciting. It's bringing them to a major sporting event, right? Their kids are, you know, they're into it and they're paying attention.
So,
you know, and they dig it. And, but, you know, whenever I run, my family will come up with me for better or worse. Sometimes I get a separate hotel room the night before, but you know,
I know, I think there was a,
there's nothing better. I mean, tears when I see them on the course, you know, it's like, wow. You know, they're cheering for me. It's, you know, it's pretty sweet. You know,
Lauren wanted to know why Colin wasn't with us. Lauren's like, why isn't Colin with us this weekend in Boston? I'm like, I don't know, sweetheart. I don't know.
Well,
that
next year. Next year, we'll all go up.
We could switch cars. We could play kid roulette with the cars. Who's in whose car?
I'll take Lauren. All right. So last thing before we go, what's next? What's next, Conti?
In what realm are we talking?
In major endurance events in your life. What do you got?
Well, the endurance of travel starting. So there's all these conferences and all these like fun things that are happening. I'm headed in 2 weeks to run the Women's Hampton Half with Dr. Mindy. Woo!
Very nice.
In Southampton, which is going to be cool. We'll check on Carol. Yeah. And then, I don't know. And then, I don't know, a couple, maybe throw in a couple sprint or little triathlons in the summer. Oh, Minnesota.
Oh, that's
right. I'm
going
to Minnesota to do the Clearwater Olympic Tri on behalf of Rolga.
Okay.
So good. The freaking rollers are amazing. I'm not even like, whatever. You use a normal roller.
So nothing, no 100 milers, no Ironman?
Ironman Chattanooga is September 25th. I got 5 months.
Okay.
You know, Dr. Mindy's also,
yeah, I told her she didn't have to do that. I was like, don't get caught up in that vortex.
She's mad at me. Cause I was like, you know, you really have to start training. She's like, no, I'll be fine. I'm like, no, you really need
There's no fine in
Ironman. It's really hard.
She's like, I'll be fine.
I'm like, no, it's really hard.
Far from fine.
It's just hard. That's all. It's a long day. Like, you know, I'm on the bike. I know a mile, like 60. I'm like, I'm kind of tired.
I gotta get my bike in order.
So, no, but yeah, I think that's it. That's the last hurrah, aside from some halves that we're going to pace together in the fall. But
yeah, that's it. Just
I don't
want to,
that I think is my last Ironman though. I just, it's a lot. And there's so many other things I think I want to do. Like you and I are going to do the Abbott.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna run all the major marathons. So I need three. You need to get Chicago.
I gotta do Chicago. Maybe
Berlin,
I'll try and get into Chicago for this year. We'll
London,
see. That would actually work.
Hong Kong. looked at them. I mean, you know, you just, whoever's listening That's right now, Tokyo. We need someone to get us into London. Brian, wink, wink.
I'm trying. We couldn't even get ourselves in.
And then Berlin, I mean, the same thing. Berlin.
Berlin's
and then,
better lottery, though. Berlin, the it? Lottery's like pretty.
It's in the fall. I can't go this year.
Yeah. It's, they're all, that's the one, that's the other thing. They're all like kind of lined up.
I think I said 2023 Berlin is what I would like to do in the fall.
All right. Let's make it happen.
I got this all lined up, but Hong Kong is still having some
Tokyo.
Weird. Tokyo is still having some weird things with like COVID. So like, I'm going to give them another like year or so to figure that out. I don't know what's happening over there, but we'll see. See what happens. I don't know.
All right. Well, I think that this is good. I feel good, Conti.
We have
nice
so
little therapy session.
Many awesome guests coming up, by the way, as well.
And yeah.
And at some point after Brian finally reads my book, we will have a split second courage session.
She took a jab at me there.
I took a jab.
I'm like, why the hell do I need to read the book?
I know you got me. You're fine. You're good.
I mean, you know.
You know the people. You know everyone in the book, pretty much.
I know. You know. I'll sit down and read it.
It's fine. You're gonna be like, oh, I know this. But other people don't know it.
No, it's important. So yeah, it's great. It's great.
You have some good background to it. It's fun. It's fun.
It's so fun. All right, everybody. We'll let you go. This is going to be, we got to, again, make a point to do more Christine and I episodes. But in between these fantastic guests that we have, you know, you get the two of us. And sometimes it's good to catch up.
We have so much stuff going on, too. It's so great.
It's crazy.
Crazy. I mean, it's hard to change the world, you know? You got to stay busy.
It's hard to have this much fun.
It's also true. Also true.
I'm telling you, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. Like, is this going to be fun? And you know.
I'm excited to see where we are in 5 years.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun. Just way
no,
more.
But no, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm curious to see where that is. I'm pointing my finger on the table like it matters. Yeah, that's what I always think of. All right, I wonder what's going to happen in 5 years. It's going to be crazy
chaos.
Mm-hmm. All right, I will end up. It is Christine Conti,
and I'm Brian Prendergast,
and we are two fit crazies.
And the microphone,
we are where it's at.
Peace.